chapter 18 and verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Now the Lord has told us, it mentions here the words of a man's mouth. Our Lord has taught us something about that. Let's look together, please, at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 16. Jesus said, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." The Jews in their religion at that time thought that eating certain things would defile you. And that's what our Lord's talking about. You can't defile yourself with something you put in your mouth. It's what comes out that is your problem, because it came from your heart. And we all have sinful, wretched, defiled hearts by nature. That's just the truth. And so he says, it's not that. Don't you understand that yet? He had taught them so clearly. Don't you know that yet? And then his disciples came to him. Verse 19. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery." You remember now, you say, "Well, I'm not a murderer." The Lord said, if you hate somebody without a cause, you've killed them. It's spiritual sin. "Adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." Eating certain things or to eat with your hands not washed, that can't defile you. Defilement is you. It's not something outside of you. It's you. That's what our Lord taught them, and so that applies to our text. We have this reference regarding our text, too, in Isaiah 57:20. Let's look at it. Isaiah 57 and verse 20. It speaks of deep water in our text in Proverbs there. Look at Isaiah 57:20. "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, deep water, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." The wicked are like that, the deep water of the ocean. But though you look at the ocean and you don't know what's underneath, except that what gets cast up, mire and dirt. That's the wicked sinner before God. We cast up out of our mouth mire. Talk about that word a little bit, Lord willing, in a minute. When a person speaks, you're getting a glimpse of what's in their heart. Like deep waters, there are things hidden there. But sometimes you get a look at them. A flash of a barracuda we saw where we were fishing this past week. You'd be looking, and you know the ocean. You look, and 99% of the time, it's just glittering reflections and wave after wave, routine action. But then this barracuda would flash by. Wow, did you see that? Sometimes they'd swim by slow and we'd get to look at them. Or maybe a jellyfish floats up and floats by. Then you get an idea. This is the type of thing that's down there underneath where I can't see. Maybe some garbage comes up. We know what is in the wicked hearts of men by nature, mire and dirt. When you see something in the ocean that comes up and you're able to get a glimpse of what's all underneath, it makes you wonder what all is down there, doesn't it? What a vast ocean it is, and what a multitude of things are there that I can't see. Mire means mud, but it's from a root word which means to be fouled. F-O-U-L-E-D, to be fouled. That's the hearts of every man and woman now. Religion can say what they want to about good people and bad people, but this book, you can't read this book and get anything else from it. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." That doesn't mean the conception of a child is sin. That means when you're born, you're sinful in the sight of God because of what happened in the garden, Adam. In Adam, the scripture says, all died. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this is a reference to sin, mire and dirt, all that our hearts contain by nature. There's a vast world of sin that is for the most part hidden to others and even to ourselves. But when a man speaks, it is as when the vast hidden world of the deep sea casts up some example of what's hidden down there. Even when the words of a man are carefully crafted to misrepresent the true spring from which it flows, it just makes that which is produced from that spring that much more foul. But look at this verse as a whole, our text as a whole. Two things are vitally connected here. The words and the waters. Words and water. There is foul, poisonous water, as the waters, the bitter waters of Meribah, when they first approached them in Exodus chapter 15, 23. They couldn't drink it. It was poisonous. And the people cried, saying, "What shall we drink? If the water's bad, what are you going to drink? There's nothing else to drink." And do you remember the next part? Oh, what a beautiful picture of the gospel this is. Exodus 15, 24, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" They're sojourning, and they came upon water every once in a while. They had to have it. They would fill up their vessels, and they would, but this water was bitter. It was poisonous. "What shall we drink?" they murmured against Moses. "You're the one that led us out here. How are we going to live?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Isn't that the most amazing, beautiful gospel picture? The Lord showed him a tree. "Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, but blessed are those for whom our Savior hung there." He showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. My God, he showed him a tree. He showed him a tree. Look and live. Look to the serpent lifted up, to Christ. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto myself." He showed him a tree. And in our text, we see the difference that God makes. How is it? Look at the last part of the verse. It's like a wellspring, the heart, what comes out of the heart of the wise. That word wisdom is the difference between bitter and sweet. Wisdom, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God, Paul wrote. Water is the epitome of the fulfillment of need. And spiritually, one thing is needful. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the words of a believer, the grace-seasoned speech of a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a wellspring of life simply because we have and proclaim his word. This is the way which God has ordained for every need of man to be met. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't drink the bitter waters of this world and live. You must have Christ more than you must have physical water. Water is used to illustrate our desperate and continual and vital need of Christ. And the way that that need is met by God in this world is by the words of a man's mouth, right from our text. That is the wisdom of the heart of Christ and the wisdom that is bred in the hearts of his people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:6, howbeit we speak wisdom. God chose fools. That's what he said in the context of that. God chose fools. Howbeit, what we say is wisdom. The wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things. Deep water. The deep things of God. How we speak wisdom. That's how he reveals the depths, the deep wisdom of God. By the words of a man's mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. Simon said to the Savior, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And God has ordained that by the mouth of sinners saved by his grace, that the word of life be spoken. Paul said, we're the savor of life and of death, but always the sweet savor of Christ unto God when we preach his gospel. We are the savor of life and death because we speak for him who decides who lives and who dies, and who is himself the life. He that hath the Son hath life. Christ is the wellspring of eternal life, and sinners drink from that wellspring when a man ordained of God, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, opens his mouth and preaches Christ and his life-giving blood. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We know where wisdom comes from now. How'd that wisdom get down there so that the wellspring of life comes forth? How did it get there? Proverbs 2:6. It's not from a theological seminary you get wisdom. It's not from being born smart. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth proceedeth knowledge and understanding. That's where it comes from. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, the gospel. Every word that has proceeded from the mouth of God has been concerning his son. So-called preachers preach on all different kinds of subjects. How to battle Satan. And how to live a, whatever they call it, an abundant life and all this kind of stuff. Everything that comes from the mouth of God concerns his son. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. That's how it's a wellspring of life. Christ is life. He that hath the son hath life. Well, don't you preach on sin, Chris? Don't you preach on sin and preach against sin? You're not going to see sin except at Calvary, where the Son of God bore the sins of his elect. It's not preaching against smoking and drinking and cussing. Sin is the total depravity of our hearts. We who crucified the Prince of Life, our sin is seen in that. And in that it took the very blood of God to wash them away. That's Christ crucified. Yes, we preach about sin. We preach that Christ bore the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. And because he did, we live. Our text mentions a wellspring. A wellspring is good for two or three things, but they're real important things. Real important ones. Of course, you drink there. You come to the wellspring to drink. They couldn't turn on the water faucet back then. They'd find a spring, a wellspring, and they would drink, and it's life or death. It's life or excruciating, horrible, painful death. Christ is that water of life, of which if a man drink thereof, he'll never thirst again. You can wash yourself there at the wellspring, and we need washing, don't we? We are defiled inside and out. Turn with me to Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. There's the wellspring right there. He gave himself for it that he might cleanse. That he might cleanse with the washing of water by the word. The word. The word. The words of a man's mouth. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. How important is this wellspring for cleansing? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Yeah, you can wash yourself there. Those who stand before God without blemish and without spot have washed. They've washed in his precious sin cleansing blood. And then you might just come to a wellspring to refresh yourself. You might just take a dipper of cold, clean water and ladle it over your head when it's hot. It gets hot in this world, doesn't it? It gets hot and we get weary. Is that not where we are right now? Refreshing ourselves at the wellspring of the love and grace of God in Christ. come to the wellspring, and is he not to you a sweet refreshment to your very soul? To be reminded of his love, to be reminded that he never leaves nor forsakes, to be reminded of the depth and riches of his wisdom and knowledge, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Deep, deep water. But he gives us beautiful glimpses of his glory as the word goes forth. How does he do that? How does he give us glimpses of him who is altogether lovely? Words. Words. Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. May God make that true of us. Let's pray together.